Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have Home Inspector Guru, Russell Johnson. If you have any questions, please call in at 347-324-3460. Again, the studio number is 347-324-3460. Or you can post a question in the chat room, and I can go ahead and read it on the air. Well, Russell, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Tim.
Okay. I guess to begin with, the audience usually like to know about the person. Can I tell just a short story, you know, where you're from, and how did you get into home inspecting?
Well, basically, I started off in home inspections because I've been having a lot of experience fixing and repairing, and did a lot of air conditioning back in the day, and I just started thinking, you know, I wanted to use my mind instead of my body, so I got into the home inspection courses, and I completed all the courses, and I passed the state exam, and here I am today.
Wow. I guess, you know, one of the things about home inspecting, a lot of people kind of take that as an option, but even I know as been a homeowner, even I was told that you really need to get an inspection done, even if it's a brand new property. You know, it's a old adage, yeah, you need to really get it done if it's a resale home, but you really need to get it for a brand new house as well, because even though the builder would make the house, they actually have a whole bunch of contractors who actually put the house together. So you never know what the quality of work is done. It looks good and pretty, but it's not 100% sure that everything was done correctly. Sometimes you do see things. What is your advice to a person who's looking at buying a home? Should they always get in home inspection?
And that is tells, true.
No.
It is true. A home inspection is a very important part of purchasing a home, because I have done new homes, and I have found things that were done incorrectly, whether it be just poor workmanship or just something that was done that shouldn't have been done the way it was done. And I would suggest to everyone that they would get a home inspection before closing their deal, because it will put you at peace of mind and relieve the stress. Because I've seen clients that when we're going through, I do a walkthrough at the end of the inspection, they're all just thinking and am I making a good buy? And a home inspector will help you find problems and tell you what or why these problems are happening. So, yeah, a home inspection is good when purchasing new, pre-owned, and especially foreclosures.
Okay. Oh, yeah, definitely foreclosures. What kind of problems do you run into with a new home? You know, I know sometimes, you know, sometimes you have the city come out, and KSA checked the permit of the from the builder and actually who's doing the work, like an electrical contractor, before they put the walls up. But what kind of problems do you, once the house is completed, you keep running into?
Basically, what you would run into, a lot of the stuff you see, if the insulation is not done up to the standards that it should be, just basically walking around the home, you can find and identify a lot of problems just by looking under areas that people normally don't look.
So it can be like, for example, like I had a problem when it came to a pipe in the wall, and I was wondering, I mean, the house that I bought, it was only about a year old, and it was a foreclosure. And about, yeah, well, a year and a half old. because the family moved in during the summer, and they moved out the following summer. By the time I closed, it was the year later, which was probably like 13 months, I think, because I moved in the middle of the summer. But what I've noticed, for example, in the wall, it was wondering why my floor had a little water in it. I couldn't figure out it wasn't leaking from the toilet. I said, okay, maybe it's leaking over the sink. But what happened is I think one of the there was a hole in the PC piping in the bathroom, and it was just a minor kind of leak, but it was just something, I guess when they either put the wall together, they punched a small hole, and which, if it was enough water, the water would leak on the floor, and we couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And that was the sink. We think it was coming from the sink. And it was just a simple nail, but things you can't really see. And but other than that, I mean, the house passed, you know, we had an inspector come out. It was just a little minor things, but they were more cosmetic. It was nothing really major or something that would bring attention. It was a little small things like that. And then I had another issue regarding the patio door. Why it kept leaking? Because somehow when they put the patio door in, it wasn't level correctly, or something wasn't sealed, and even I had new door put in, and it's not until I actually had something else done, flooring done, that the leaking stopped at the replacing. I had to take out the whole patio slide door and put French doors in, but I had to make sure that the company, when they put it in, that it was sealed correctly and wasn't leaking. And that's kind of typical things. That's my personal experience. But anything that horror stories that you would hear that maybe not so more in the new construction, but for the resale home that people keep running into.
It's a lot of especially after last year's drought we had down here in Houston where I'm at. A lot of people have been having a lot of problems with. Why they're starting to see cracks over the doors and windows. These are areas known to be related to drought, which cause a home to start showing cracks and items like that due to settlement, because you have to keep your foundation moist around the perimeter of the home to avoid these things from happening. So that's a real problem that we've been seeing a lot of after the drought last summer we had down here in Houston.
So if you don't keep the perimeter moist, I mean, you might be subject to some type of settlement cracking?
Yeah. The foundation, it'll start to move on one end, and then you'll start to see. That's why you have to identify these things and monitor these things yourself while you're living in your home. But these are items that we have been seeing, especially after last year's drought, because it took a lot of toll on everyone's home. When they don't get rain around the perimeter of the home, you start to see these signs, and then people start wondering, did I make a good buy? What's wrong? But at the time of the inspection, that's why inspectors have to be careful, and they have to say, at the time of the inspection, These are the things that occurred, because after a week or even a couple of days, things start to change depending on what time of the year it is also.
You know, we had this issue 12 years ago, especially in Texas, regarding mold. Are you seeing any mold? And mildew and mold is two different things.
Yeah,
mold is bad. But are you seeing these things, or people kind of resolving this on their own?
Well, when you really start to see mold, it usually stems from water getting in the sheetrock. And usually, if the air conditioning system is leaking in the attic and no one knows about it, you can start to have mold in the ceiling sheetrock. Or you could, if it could be dripping in the walls, you could start to see those types of problems. And mildew is different, because that's just that's moisture building up on the outside of the home, probably from something dripping in the area that no one knows about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when it comes to the really one thing they can do, any techniques that they can use if they do start seeing mildew, you can just wipe it off or something like that. What should they do really with mold?
With mold, they have a type of spray that you can purchase in your Home Depots and Lowe's that you can clean it up with. But it's best to call out a mold certified inspector, which I don't have this certification, but you call a mold certified inspector, and they can send it off to the lab to get it tested to make sure that it is mold.
Okay, and make sure it's not mildew.
Yeah.
Okay. And when it comes to the mold itself, no, it is really, really toxic. But does it happen over a course of time, or, you know, like, for example, something leaking a week ago, all of a sudden now starting to mold? Is it a certain amount of time that these things happen, or it just happens, you know, okay.
No.
Is that
going to
happen
mold,
within a week? It's going to happen over a time, like
yeah,
a month.
Yeah, mold does take time. Mold does take time to build up, and there are different types of mold. So that's why when everybody say mold, they think it's all toxic, but there are different types. And that's why it's best to get that area cut out and sent to the lab so you can determine whether you have that toxic kind of mold, whether they need to take all of the sheetrock out and replace it, or you can just spray the chemicals on it and kill it.
Okay. Any other things that you can point out regarding, I think, a home inspection? When you become a home inspector, what things are you actually looking at when you actually inspect a home?
When you go to the home, a home inspector checks all areas of the home, including roof, attic structure, walls, doors, windows, floors, foundation. A home inspector checks everything, and a home inspector is put in place because, you know, you can pay a lot of money. You can pay a plumber to come out. You can pay an electrician to come out. You can pay a structural engineer to come out, and all these guys are going to charge you a fee to come out, but a home inspector will come out and check everything for a nominal fee, which will save you money and point out which areas you need to pay attention to. If you got some electrical problems, they will suggest to you to call the electrician. So this is really why an inspector is put in place, just to really cut costs upon moving in a home, because calling five or different inspectors out via plumbing, electrical, structural, this could really get in people's pockets, and you know, they could start to say, well, why do I need all of this? But a home inspector is the key to you moving in your home.
Wow. So really, even a negotiation tool, if you the home inspector finds something, you can get that negotiated before you actually finalize your contract. So most people, when they go and look at a house, put an option is upon approval of an inspection as a clause, and which is wise to do, then you would know what you face with, because if you have foundational issues, which is really, really expensive, and you buy your home, now you're dealing with a bill, or you're dealing with a new roof, and a new roof can cost $7,000, $8,000, $10,000. A structural problem will cost almost $15,000. So even though you only spend a small amount of money, a few hundred dollars or a thousand, I mean, not, I don't think it's $1,000, but a few hundred dollars,
mm-hmm.
and then at least you will have an idea of what happened that particular day if something be pointed out. Is electrical, or is the roof, or whatever it is. Now, with dealing with roof inspections, you have to physically get up there on the roof and just, or you kind of can tell without getting on top of the roof, you kind of say, okay, yeah, this is...
Dealing with the real estate commission, they really don't require you to get on roofs, especially if you see it's an unsafe area. But if I see something in question, yes, I will get on the roof. But we are allowed to use binoculars, or you are allowed just to stand on the ladder and get a good look. But if I see something in question that looks abnormal, yes, I will get on the roof.
Wow. And what about crawl spaces? to get under a crawl space under a house, and you never know what's under there, especially, you know.
That's true. And I have seen some homes, but down here we don't really have a lot of crawl spaces, but we have some pier and beam homes that you have to get under, which sometimes you don't know what's under there, like you said. But, yeah, you do have to go in there to see, because they have plumbing running under there, and that's the only way you would know if there is a problem. But if the crawl space is obstructed or, like, people store items in there, then, you know, you're really not required to go in there.
Okay.
In crawl spaces.
I have a question here regarding termites. I guess with a slab foundation is a lot easier, because you can just look on the perimeter and find out where something is coming from. But with termites itself, and if you have a crawl space, I mean, it's that's direct access from the ground. They're going to just build a tunnel to come all the way up from the ground, and you can't really see. It has this moisture that the termites need, and they can come straight to the house. At least with a slab foundation, unless you have a small crack, you can see where the termites are coming from. But with a crawl space, wow, that's scary. You don't know what's under there. Have you seen within, especially in the Houston area, since it's a tropical area, issues with termites?
Yeah, termites are an issue here, but they have certain ways that certified termite inspectors do have ways to find if there are problems in the wall, because they have this type of infrared camera which will let you know if things are going on in the walls and help you find these items. But yeah, termites is a problem. It's not
so they
may, you know. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just finishing up and saying that it's best to get termite inspection and done, because around the perimeter home, you never know. But a lot of people cause these problems themselves, because you don't store items up against your foundation. When you see people storing wood, like when they have firewood and they just store it up against the house, this brings termites to your home. So put these things away from the home. The foundation is supposed to be clear and free of all debris, because when you start to store items against the home and rainwater start to get around and underneath them, this attracts termites to these areas. So a lot of people do these things not knowing, but they cause some of these problems themselves, and that's why you keep things away from the perimeter of your foundation. Store them, you know, in your storage or up against the fence, away from the home, away from the foundation, and you should be safe from termite and insect activities. But another note I want to say, termites are not the only wood-destroying insect. They've got all kind of different insects that eat wood. We have a beetle that eat wood. We got a wasp that eat wood. So it's a lot of different areas and different things that could cause wood-destroying insects to get in these areas.
Okay. By having your wood, your firewood on the ground next to your house is not a good idea, because you just invite insects, hey, come and eat me, because they don't know the difference between a dead tree, which they're supposed to be eating, versus your
house, which is a dead tree,
pretty much.
They will be attracted to this area, and they will start to eat on that wood that you got laying up against the home, and then eventually they'll find their way into the home, into your weep holes, and you'll never know it. And you could be the cause of it, but these are things that people do not know.
So you mentioned beetles, you have wasps, you have termites, carpenter ants.
Yeah, carpenter ants also. You have more than one wood-destroying insect, so that's why people get nervous when they say termites, but there's more than one wood-destroying insect.
Now that I'm looking here as email is coming through, regarding termites, they're subterranean, and someone said flying insect. Look like it's two different type of termites. One is, I guess it's subterranean, then another one that actually flies from house to house that a lot of people don't have the control over.
Yeah.
In that particular sense, on that particular termite that flies from house to house, you can control what's on the ground. You can't control what's in the house. And I think they're saying the ones that actually fly, that they're just going to land on your house, and the only way you can get rid of them, you have to put a tent and fumigate your house entirely. Have you ever run into some issues like that close to the Gulf, that you had to take those type of termites and put a tent apart, really fumigate the house in order to get rid of them?
Yeah, I have, and that's the thing. People have to do a lot of fumigating around their homes down here because, yeah, termites do fly and they do crawl underground, under the earth, and in wood, and you would never know. So, yeah, and now is the time. When, in springtime, when all of the insects are mating and breeding right now, spray around the perimeter of your home, spray around your soffits, underneath the overhang, which these flying insects love to go, and cover up and close all of your vents if you have some small holes. You just take caulk and do some maintenance around your home to stop and avoid these insects from entering into your home. But a lot of people like to close up the weep holes, and the weep holes are there for a reason, which are those holes down in the bottom of the first layer of bricks. Those there are there for a reason, to keep your walls breathing. And I have seen homes where people close their weep holes up, and that's not a good idea because that could lead to mold buildup in between your walls, and you won't know until you start to smell this musty odor. But, yeah, I have seen areas like that where flying insects get in homes, and no one knows. No one knows about it.
Okay, so they were saying it's Formosan type of it's really common in really Florida in the Gulf states, close to the water, and they just fly from home to home. And the only way you can get rid of them, you have to actually fumigate the entire house, which is a huge nuisance.
It is.
Because everything has to be fogged down, and that's the only way you can get rid of them, then versus subterranean. And dealing with the other problems with them, looking at the inspection list on the American Home Inspectors, and can you talk about when they give you a check sheet, kind of go down the line what they actually check, what you're checking for?
Doing a home inspection?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when you go around the perimeter of the foundation, you're just looking around the foundation to look for evidence to see if you can tell if there is any settlement going on with the home. But as I said earlier, you can see if the home is settling by really looking at the cracks around the windows on the inside and the outside, around doors. This is evidence that inspectors look for to determine what's going on and what's with this particular home that you are looking at. And and dealing with the roof and attic structure, we deal with all of the windows. Around the windows, you have to keep your windows caulked because these areas here are prone to water penetration. So you have to keep your windows caulked, and especially at the end of the summer after the sun and dried it and cracked it. Re-caulk and reseal around your windows. And make sure everything is sealed up real good. This is another thing to say, going green, to keep all of the drafts and things from going on with your home. You have to keep all of the windows and doors sealed, put weather stripping around your doors. Inspectors check for all these things. If we see light around the door, these are signs that air is leaking in and out of your home. And you just look for different type of areas that settle.
Okay. And when you start, you know, that's from the exterior of the home, you look for all those particular items. And then when you get inside the home, you know, they say, okay, you have your roof, you have your chimneys. Sometimes they're a source of leaks or cracks. You know, when it comes to like things like stucco, which is pretty, you can change, you can paint it, but
yeah,
it's like a nightmare to deal with insects. And when there's a problem, moving a plank is one thing, but moving, there's no way you can get by dealing with stucco, because when you have stucco, I mean, you have to actually get a contract to come back and cement that whole area, and you had to get a good one to make sure it's blended, and had to repaint the whole surface, because it will fade in the sunlight, and you sometimes stuck to do the whole wall, you know, if it's been years since you're actually painting that area, because it will fade over time. Any particular issues when it comes to the with stucco and dealing with the home inspection, because you really can't see certain things?
You really can't, and stucco, it's really a difficult item to inspect, but it has to be done right the first time. And they have different many layers that you have to put in between the walls before you put that final stucco coating on there to make sure that it is done correctly. But basically what a home inspector do, and I do it, I go around the perimeter of stucco with a small mirror, and I look underneath. So I won't be crawling in the dirt. I look underneath to see if everything was done correctly. And especially underneath these areas here, it has to be closed up so to avoid insects and stuff from getting back underneath in between these walls. The stucco, yes, this is a very difficult item to inspect. But you have to give your best assumption of what's going on looking around the perimeter of the stucco exterior wall.
Okay. With the new siding board, hardy plank, I mean, it's, well, what's so good about having hardy plank, we have to deal with rotten wood, but does it make your job easier when they use a hardy plank than versus as a regular wood plank?
Yeah, hardy board is a really good board. I haven't seen hardy plank wear out as quick as wood, because wood will rot and deteriorate over a couple of years, especially if you use a cost-cutting primer on wood and cost-cutting paints. You have to use good quality paints, which would extend the life of your wood and your exterior siding.
Okay. And let's see on here, they also have about the gutters and downspouts to check for. You know, some homeowners, you know, all of a sudden over time we're missing the downs. You know, you have this little piece of concrete down here to kind of keep the water from your house. And then we lose the end part that points the water away from the house. And is it a good thing of having the water come at the perimeter of the house, or it really doesn't matter, or it really shouldn't be near the house? It should go in the opposite direction.
It should go in the opposite
downspout
direction. Because by rule, your ground is supposed to slope away from your home 6 inches every 10 feet. But that's why gutters and downspouts are in place, because people don't imagine how hard one raindrop can do damage to the ground. So this is why gutters are in place, because rainwater will start to drop in one area, and it will cause the ground to erode in that area. So that's why gutters and downspouts are in place, to run the water away from the home. So, yeah, because rainwater make the ground erode. If it's just beaten in one area for hours at a time, it will cause the ground to erode. But that's why gutters and downspouts are in place. But, again, as we were talking about earlier, you have to keep your foundation moist around it to keep settlement from happening.
So, but if you don't have the gutters, then the water just comes straight down, and all of a sudden you're going to see more and more of your foundation.
Yeah. More and more of your ground around your home will start to disappear, and that's why people don't have gutters and downspouts in place, which is a very important key to keeping your ground level around your home.
Okay. And talking about the doors and windows, anything that I think you really can do with doors and windows, really for energy efficient windows and doors is, you know, you see these little cracks and stuff like that. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't know what to do with them. I even don't know what to do with them. But, you know, you can buy these little strips and things. So mm-hmm. on the cork, you know, you can either cork it or you can paint it. But, you know, I don't know, when dealing with windows and doors, what are your suggestions on what they should do?
Well, dealing with windows and doors, first of all, I want to say that wood doors swell and contract, and people start to have a lot of problems with their doors opening and closing because wooden doors do swell. They swell when it's a lot of rain and moisture, and they also swell in the extreme heat conditions. But mm-hmm. When a door starts to get, as we say in the inspection world, cocked, so to speak, mm-hmm. it's really nothing you can do about it. You can get a contractor back out, and he could take off the hinges, and he could sand around the corners to make it fit back in the door opening properly. But after a door starts to cock and your home starts to settle, it's really a lot of things that you can't do to keep this from happening. But when you start to see light around doors, yeah, use your weather stripping to keep the air from seeping in and out. And dealing with windows, you have to make sure that your windows got the proper flashing around the top of them. Because this here, if the flashings are not correct, you will start to see water penetration around your windows and doors.
Yeah, you know, I think some people in two-story homes say, why is it always, you know, in the wintertime, it's cold down here? And, you know, the heat rises, of course, but then, yeah, we know it's coming through the windows and doors somehow. You might not see everything, but you can feel it.
Yeah, that's true.
What kind of complaints do you normally find when it comes to decks? Some people build their own decks and, you know, they put the direct wood into the ground, which I guess you're just feeding your inviting things to come over. But since a lot of people do it themselves these days, have you seen any type of issues or dealing with people's decks and things that they should be doing if they're going to build a deck, this is what they should do?
Yeah, if you're going to build a deck in the backyard, the wood should really never make contact with the ground. You should have those concrete squares put in place before you put the wood on the ground, because even treated wood is better. It'll last longer, but over time you will start to see the wood rot and deteriorate. But wood should never make contact with the ground. You have to get those square concrete blocks, or even if you're going to put them in the ground, put some concrete in the hole that you're putting this wood in to avoid the wood rot deteriorating faster. And then without treated wood, insects, they come around and they'll be eating up your wood in the ground and you'll never know. So, yeah.
Wow.
When you're adding in a deck or putting something outside, make sure you get it done correctly with treated wood, or don't let the wood come in contact with the ground.
Okay. So you're saying if they pour concrete and then put the treated wood inside of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that'll give that extra protection. So it would be connecting. Okay. But
yeah.
Treated wood, good treated wood. Okay.
Yeah.
Then any particular issues? I know because of the water table in Houston, you're not going to have really only a few basements going to be in that area for obvious reasons, so you're not going to run into that. Lastly, when it comes to any issues you normally will see when it comes to attics and ceilings?
dealing with attics and ceilings, yeah, you really got to check, especially in well, not just especially in two-story homes, even in one-story home, when the plumbing is running in the attic, you have to go around and check all ceilings, because you never know what's going on in the middle of the walls. Dealing with plumbing running in between the walls, you got to check, because I went through this myself. When a home inspector is checking the ceiling, which is the bottom of the second story floor,
mm-hmm.
There was an area that a toilet was leaking and the water was running to another area of the home, and the sheetrock was soft in this area, which was a hidden danger because the cellar covered it up. So, and good thing I checked it and I looked real good and I found this area. So dealing with two-story homes and when the restrooms are on the top floor, you have to be careful with these dangers that can occur and you not be aware of it.
Hmm. Okay. And I think the last one someone was mentioning, when it comes to chimneys, what type of issues you normally will see when it comes to a chimney?
When it comes to chimneys, what a lot of people don't realize, the wider the chimney, the more problems can develop, because they don't put the correct water diverter around the chimney to run the water around as it should. A chimney wider than 33 inches is supposed to have a water diverter put on the back of it, because water, if you just got that a certain kind of flashing, it won't divert the water around the chimney as it should, and you will start to see problems around these areas. And another thing with chimneys, which I did run into a problem before, you got to do maintenance around your chimneys also, because I've seen pine needles and the type of flashing up around chimneys, which is just a thin piece of aluminum. But if you don't mm-hmm. keep these areas clean around the chimney, pine needles can eat through flashing, and people never know. And then they develop a leak in the chimney, and it's leaking in the fireplace, and they can't figure out why. You have to do some maintenance to keep your gutters and around your chimneys clean year-round.
So you're saying beetles will eat the aluminum?
No. Pine needles.
Pine needles. Oh, okay.
Pine needle from pine trees. When people don't do the proper maintenance and pine needles are just, you know, sitting around the chimney and no one's cleaning it out, and after the rainwater hit it, they start to rust and deteriorate. That's why you got to get on the top of your chimney or get your landscaper to clean around your chimney, because these areas here are prone to rust, which will start to leak in your fireplace.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, lastly, anything you want to leave us with in getting a home inspection?
Well, a home inspector is there to help you. It's a good investment. You don't have to get a home inspection, but I would recommend to everyone to get a home inspection before you close on your deal on your home. It is a really helpful tool, because some people, this is the biggest investment they've ever made in their life, and they want to be mm-hmm. sure that it's, you know, not too many problems. But a home inspector is there to make you aware of the problems that's going on. But, yeah, a home inspection is a good tool to do when you're purchasing your home.
Okay. Well, yeah. How can we contact you if we have any questions or in the Houston area? And I'm not sure. I mean, I know you listen in directories and so forth. So how can they contact you?
I have a website, and it's www.distinguishedinspections.net. Or you can send me an email at rajohnson@distinguishedinspections.net, and I'll be happy to answer any questions I can.
Okay. So, again, www, and can you spell it out just in case people misspell it?
okay, is distinguishedstections.net.
.net, okay.
Yes.
Perfect. And then the contact, your contact information is on the website.
Yes,
which
all
is,
my contact information is there. And you can send me an email at rjohnson@distinguishedinspections.net. And send me questions or comments, and I'll be happy to answer.
Okay, great. Well, we appreciate you coming on to the program. And thank you, Russell. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Tim.
Okay, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. You can download this episode on iTunes, on Blog Talk Radio Network, or on blog.applecapitalgroup. Everybody, thank you for listening. And if you enjoy the episodes, we ask you to go ahead and Google Plus it, or you can go ahead and write a comment in iTunes to give us feedback on how you like these episodes. Well, everybody, thank you for listening, and have a great day. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.